gracious Father, as we ponder your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit may be our teacher, so that we may hear your voice. This is our expectation as we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I have come to believe that the difference between a saint life and any other life is that saints have discovered their vocations and are determined to live them out. They live them out by focusing on significance, adding value to other people, instead of focusing on success, adding value to themselves. What saints seek in life is not happiness, but rather the intensity that forces them into some pursuits that involve hardships, and in doing so they attain the ultimate happiness and harmony within themselves and the world. And so we call them the blessed saints. Although being blessed is among the topmost desires of every Christian, many do not know what it means and how to attain it. And 4 years ago, I met this lady whose faith and enthusiasm I have come to admire. The first time I greeted her, I thought her response was dictated by the events of that day. I came to learn in the subsequent days that this was her way of life. Every time you greet her, she says, "I'm blessed and highly favored." Her response has been contagious, that she challenges you to think about your blessings, especially when she catches you by surprise and says, "Blessed and highly favored." I don't know why she says, "Blessed and highly favored." Maybe she likes it because it sounds richer, blessed. Maybe she has found her vocation and she's satisfied. Maybe she knows it means happy, suggesting a happy mood, a good feeling. But then you think of Bobby Dylan, who says, "Happiness is not on my list of priorities. I just deal with day-to-day things. It's not happiness or unhappiness. It is either blessed or unblessed. As the Bible says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Knowing that you are the person you were put on this earth to be, that's much more important than just being happy. It's possible that my friend listens to Bobby Dylan, or she reads the Bible and believes what Jesus is saying today. Blessed or happy is everyone who is poor, who is hungry, who is weeping, hated, excluded, reviled, defamed on account of Jesus Christ. If being blessed and being happy are the same things in the Bible, then we have to ask, what does it mean to be blessed or to be happy? I want to suggest that it means living a flourishing life. Being happy is flourishing. It's to be bursting in life. That's why the psalmist describes a happy person as one who eats the fruit of the labor of his hands, whose wife is a fruitful vine, and whose children are like olive shoots around his table. In his paper on human flourishing, David Kelsey explores this idea a little further He says that flourishing can mean to blossom. To blossom is to manifest a type of beauty or to manifest a type of glory of which a given life is capable by virtue of God's creation. So whether you are a plant or an animal or a human being, to blossom is to manifest a type of beauty which a given life is capable of by virtue of God's creation. In other words, to blossom is to be fully alive. And he goes on to say that to blossom results into two things, the fruit and the seed. To blossom is to produce a life from which others are nurtured, by which others are enriched. To blossom is to carry and preserve the seed that will provide for those who are not yet born. So to live a blessed life, to be happy, is to blossom and to manifest in your life the glory of God. Now, many of us think that to be happy or to be blessed is to experience satisfaction. The problem is that for many, it does not matter what the source of that flourishing or satisfaction might be. And this is where we differ from the saints among us. For the saints know that this kind of blessedness, this happiness, this blossoming comes to those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. The book of Proverbs says, if you do not want to be a fool, if you do not want to go in the wrong way in life, you need to fear the Lord. It's more than believing, because James says the demons believe in God and they tremble. Therefore, this fear here means a reverence for God. This reverence informs our response and shapes our lives. A person who fears the Lord is one who walks in his ways, who lives his obedient life for the Lord. It is this fear of God, it's this reverence that gives the saints among us their identity and denies them the liberty to make a choice. Having a choice becomes a violation of their own nature. And so they push through when it doesn't make sense. Because an issue lies at the very heart of who they are, it becomes unthinkable for them to turn away. In his book, Secular Age, Charles Taylor, a well-known Catholic philosopher, recounts being in a meeting where Mother Teresa was giving an account for her life as to why she had given her life to caring for those who had been abandoned and dying. She said she does it because those abandoned, those dying are created in the image of God. Charles Taylor says, as a Catholic, he would say the same thing. But because he was a philosopher, he talked to himself and said, yes, I could say it, but why me really? Does it really have this awesome power on the way I live? The fear of God is such an existential and daily response to the God who is sovereign. And so the Bible says, those who fear the Lord are happy. And I wonder how you'd respond to that. Everybody I've read says, we should not think of it as being automatic or sort of being mechanical, that if you pull this lever, fear the Lord, out comes a flourishing life. What it means is that there is a concurrence, there is an interdependence, so that if you want to live a flourishing life, you will need to live a life that understands God as a contemporary, such that if you are going to do it right, you have to do it His way. All the great religions and certainly all the saints of the church will say that you were created to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do that, and blessedness will shadow you. So today, as we remember the blessed saints, we come to the Lord who blesses us. We come with all our anxieties of daily life. We come with all our fears and hopes, our dreams and aspirations. We come with all our pain and struggles, and all things that keep us awake at night. Not necessarily to be made happy or to be blessed, but rather to hear that benediction again. God speaking well to us, wishing us well, promising that He will not turn His face aside from us, from our families, from our homes, from our offices, from our places of work, from our schools, and from our loved ones and everything that concerns us. We come to be reminded that our flourishing, our blossoming is not to be hoarded, but rather that our flourishing is for those who are going through dark times of poverty, dark times of hunger, mourning, of being hated, being excluded, of being reviled and defamed on account of Christ. So blessed and highly favored, may God give us that flourishing, that blossoming. May He help us to blossom into the kinds of beauty that He had in store for us when He created us. And may we be a blessing to the church and to the world. Amen.